The Gospel of John, chapter 3, and we will look at verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now the last verse in the chapter, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Well, we trust the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word and all that has gone before. I thank the Lord for giving me this opportunity to testify for him how he saved me at a very young age and has preserved me until now. I grew up as a little boy, coming from a home where the Bible was not read at all. My parents were not Christian, but though young in age, we were granted the opportunity to attend Sunday school. And I well remember that we had a Chinese Sunday school not too far from our place. We were staying in a government quarters, and my father was working with the government of Malaysia. And we were staying in those quarters which were more like terrace houses. And we lived in one end of the row of terrace houses. And there was a little Sunday school conducted by a man at the other end of the row of houses. And we faithfully attended the Sunday school when we were young. But it pleased the Lord to take that brother home to glory. And there was a request made that the Sunday school be preserved. And my parents were approached because of the fact that in that area, my father was one of those that had a little shed where he kept his car. It was a shed which had four pillars and galvanized zinc laid together to form a roof. And my parents gave permission to have the Sunday school conducted under that little shed. And I well remember those choruses that we sang, the Bible that we read. And we were not as privileged because we sat on benches which are actually two stools placed at two ends with a hard piece of wood across to make a bench. And sometimes, if you were to sit in the center, you could feel yourself moving up and down as if you were sitting on a seesaw. And if you get a naughty boy sitting at the very other end, he will just have to push the bench and you will be seated down under the floor. Well, those were the days that we could recall, were some lovely days. But we did learn the things of God there. But when I grew older, I was sent to a Sunday school much further away, a much bigger Sunday school. And we learned about the scriptures. It was a much bigger gathering. And as I grew up, I could well remember that I gained many points in my attendance as well as in the memorization of the scriptures. I could quote the scriptures by heart. The many verses, the gospel verses that could have saved many a soul, I knew it by heart. I knew them by heart. But it meant little to me because I knew not the Savior. And there was no conviction of sin in my heart. There was no urge for repentance. And the fact that Christ died on the cross for my sins meant nothing to me. I did not know the Savior. But as I recall, those were the days when I learned about the scriptures. And as I reflect on the Sunday school and the life I led, I could see this, that all was of no avail. It meant nothing to me. And I think I was only taking things for granted. I thought by my association with the Sunday school, by my attendance at the gospel meeting, and my faithful presence at every gospel campaign, that I was a Christian, that I was on my way to heaven, that I was secured for eternity. And the devil, the evil one, was leading me on and comforting my soul and saying that there is no need for you of the urgency of accepting Christ as your personal Savior. Just move along with them and you'll be all right. I wonder if the evil one is doing the same to you. Is he leading you on in the same manner as he led me, to think that I was secure? It was only when I trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ did I realize that it was false security. Peradventure I may be speaking to some tonight who was in the same condition as I was. And then as I grew up, I remembered that there were many saints that do come to my house and have many meetings at my place, because my brother, who is slightly older than I, was saved in his early age. And he was a very bright testimony. And he was one whom we could see there was a great change in his life. Once he was a boy who was very interested in the world. He was an athlete who was good at sports. And we saw when Christ came into his life was totally changed. We found that there was something in his life that the rest of the family couldn't understand. None of the other brothers and sisters were saved. But when my third brother was saved, there was a vast difference between him and the rest of us. And he associated with the brethren, and he brought them back home, and we did see a change in the others as well. In the mannerisms, in the way they behave, they showed all respect to my parents. They were ones who were well-mannered. They were not like those that were in the world. And we wondered why. And slowly dawned on us that surely the Lord has worked in his life. The Lord has saved him. The Lord did show him that the things of this world will soon pass away. And he was looking forward to the day when he shall be with the Lord. And he was laying up treasure in heaven and not on this earth. That in a nutshell was what he was portraying to us. And one day he brought a brother by the name of Andrew Lowe from another town to stay with us. And Andrew came along and took me for a walk. And he spoke to me with regards to salvation. And he asked me this question: are you saved? Are you saved? The same word that our brother brought before you. And it pricked my heart. And again the evil one told me, answer him well and say that you are saved. So I told Andrew, Brother Andrew, I said, I could quote to you all the scriptures on salvation. Do you think I am saved? I said, I know what the scripture teaches with regards to salvation. And I can tell you which are the verses which tells you about salvation. Then he turned around and told me, right in my face, you are not saved at all if you have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. That gave me the shock of my life. He said, those verses that you quoted is useless to you at all. If you don't experience in your life the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, they mean nothing to you. That kept me pondering. That pricked me right in my heart. And I went home and was very much troubled after that. Very, very much troubled. And the Lord spoke to me. There were many occasions I desired to be saved, but I was withheld because the evil one told me there is no need of a hurry to be saved. But on the other hand, there was fear in my heart. As I recall, they were telling me that the Lord would soon return. The brethren were saying that if you were to die in your sin, you would go down to hell and eternal destruction. And that put fear in my life. And the day came. In January the 31st, 1959. 26 years. This coming January. On a Saturday night, the Lord spoke to my soul. And as I laid in my bed, the Lord caused a storm to pass over. And if you have been in Malaysia before, you would realize what kind of storms there are in Malaysia. The lightning flash and the thundered roar in the sky put fear in my life, and I was telling myself, the Lord is going to come tonight. The Lord is returning. If I die in my sin, where shall I be? And the storm took a good while to pass. A good while. It was not a storm that only came for 5 minutes and was gone. And it really gripped my soul as I saw the repeated flash of the lightning and the sound of the thunder. And I told myself, surely I will go down to hell. And the Lord spoke to me that night. And the Lord brought back the verses of John 3:16, as you would see it on a board behind me. And I saw the love of the Lord Jesus afresh this time. Not as a boy who would repeat like a parrot the verses of scripture without much meaning, but truly, the Lord showed me how much He loved me to die on the cross of Calvary. And that Saturday night, the 31st of January 1959, I saw the Lord dying on that cross in my place, shedding His precious blood to cleanse me from my stain of sin. I accepted Him as my own and personal Savior. there I bowed my knee, confess my sins before him in repentance, and took him as my personal savior. Oh, what a joy it was to know the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart. And as I went along the pilgrim journey as a Christian, my life changed slowly but surely. And now I realize what it meant for my brother to become a Christian. And now I see the reason why his life was so changed. As I see Christ in my own life and the workings of the Holy Spirit in me, I was one who had a very bad temper. And with the Lord's help, I was able to control that temper. There were very many desires in my life that would put me to shame. But the Lord helped me to overcome those lustful desires. And as I grew, I learned the principle that I need to be baptized. The Lord did not call us only to be saved. But the Lord did call us also to be baptized. And so I saw the principle of baptism in Acts chapter 8 when the Ethiopian eunuch asked for baptism when he confessed the Lord Jesus Christ. I saw in Acts chapter 16 the Philippine jailer, how he was saved and the rest of his household was baptized. And these were the scriptures that convicted me of my need of baptism. And after a year, I asked the overseeing brethren, if I could be baptized. And so, in April 1960, I took the waters of baptism and was glad that I was able to testify for my blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And up to today, 26 years have almost gone in the Lord. I can tell you this, I never regretted the day when I trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. There were very many happy moments with Him. Experiences which would take me much time to tell you. I did relate a few to my brethren this afternoon, and it was a joy really for them to see the working of the Lord in my life. I could do the same to you and tell you tonight that Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. That if He can save me, He can save you. For as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, says the scriptures. It tells me of this in the days of the children of Israel, when they were bitten by the fiery serpent. God made a provision for salvation and asked Moses to make a brazen serpent and raised it up so that every man and woman who was bitten by the serpent, if they would look on the serpent, they shall live. And so, my friends, God has made such a provision is because He loved you, and it's because He loved me. And this time it is not a servant that He raised up, but His only begotten Son, who loved us unto death. That if you would look to the cross of Calvary, not so much the cross, but the man who died on that cross, and believe in Him and accept Him as your own and personal Savior, you shall be saved. As Christ said, "And I, if I be lifted up, shall draw all men unto me." There are many who are seated beside you who have taken that step of obedience and accepted Christ as your personal Savior. Have you yourself accepted Him? We know this, that the Lord Jesus will return, and it wouldn't be long. You would have a loved one, I'm sure, who may be seated next to you. And as I would speak to you tonight, if the Lord were to come back tonight, and if you are not saved, then your loved one will be taken into heaven and into everlasting life. And where will you be? You will be separated from them forever. The scripture says, "Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Won't you trust in the Lord Jesus tonight? I like this beautiful chorus that goes like this. "I wish you knew my Jesus and love Him as I do. For if you knew my Jesus, then you will love Him too. He gave His life at Calvary, a sacrifice for you. For if you knew my Jesus, then you will love Him too." Shall we pray? Our gracious Father, we thank Thee afresh for the privilege of testifying for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, Father, for that saving grace. For by grace are we saved through faith. And indeed we can stand before Thee, accepted tonight, because our righteousness is Christ Himself. We pray, our Father, tonight that Thou will come down upon this company. And if there are yet some who are lingering on the question of salvation, we pray that Thou will grant grace, deciding grace, that they would accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. Father, we desire to rejoice to know that at the last meeting of 1984, that some would know Christ as their own and personal Savior. Now we ask of Thee that Thou would preserve each one as we soon depart from this place, that Thou would grant us journeying mercies, especially on these slippery roads. We do pray, our Father, that Thy portion may rest with us. We pray these things in our Savior's precious and holy name. Amen. Before we depart, can we sing a hymn together? Hymn 88. Hymn 88. "Oh, what a Savior, that He died for me. From condemnation He has made me free. He that believeth on the Son, saith he, hath everlasting life. Verse 2, all my iniquities on him were laid, all my indebtedness by him was paid. All who believe on him, the Lord hath said, hath everlasting life. Hymn 88.
Oh, all the Savior, let me die for thee.
We'd like to add again that we are so glad to see so many of you out this evening, in spite of the cold. Now we'd like to extend our grateful thanks to the believers here and to elsewhere for the lovely fellowship that we have had since we arrived, and your hospitality and love has been overwhelming. We'd like to express our grateful thanks to you, and we trust that if ever you come down to Australia, we would be able to do the same. Now will you please turn with us to Genesis chapter 3, the first book of the Bible, Genesis, and chapter 3. Just three verses from there, looking at verse 22, Genesis 3 and verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now one verse from the Psalms, Psalm 103, Psalm 103 and verse 12. Psalm 103 and verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Now we trust the Lord will bless the public reading of his precious word and all that has gone before. Now this evening, our heart has been exercised in the direction of speaking to you on the topic of the East. It is significant to note that in the Holy Scriptures, God has mentioned directions in many instances. And he has done so with a great purpose indeed. First of all, you would have noticed in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 24 that we have read, God mentioned that man went out of the Garden of Eden, and there at the east gate, God placed cherubims. And in the hand of the cherubim would be a flaming sword. We would put that word in simple form to you. And that word is the fall. The fall. Now I think from a child you would have learned that in Genesis itself we have the first sin that was committed and how man fell. Adam in disobedience took the fruit that was given to him by his wife Eve. And so he committed the first sin. And that led to the fall. And Adam, being the federal head, fell. And when sin came into the world, sin passed upon all men. And thus, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, says Paul in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My friends, you are in that state and condition. And before I realized that I was saved, God spoke to me of my sins. And He spoke to me of that one sin that was existing in me because of Adam's sin. And I realized some 26 years ago how much I needed to get my sins removed. And God spoke to me that night, a Saturday night, the 31st of June, and 1959, almost 26 years, this coming January 31st. And I saw how I needed my sins forgiven, and that Christ died for my sins on the cross. And I put my full trust and faith in Him that my sins would be forgiven. And praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, I'm saved today. But my friends, do you know your sins forgiven? And I could say tonight, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed my transgressions from me. Can you see this, say the same? I would like to put forth to you tonight, my friends, if you don't know your sins forgiven, then what a sad state you are in. For your portion would be hell and eternal destruction. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son shall not see life. Listen to these words, my friend. But the wrath of God abideth on him. But the wrath of God abideth on him. My friends, if you don't see your sins forgiven, then the wrath of God will rest upon you. And Adam, because of his sin, he was driven out of the presence of God. And because of your sins, you would come short of the glory of God. And you would be driven out of the presence of God. Man moved out of the presence of God in the eastern direction. And there he went. And he was lost. But it is good to note, although we didn't read the passage, I believe sincerely that Adam was saved. You would remember that it is written that God provided him coats of skin. Coats of skin. Both Adam and Eve. Do you know why? Because Adam acknowledged his mistake. Adam acknowledged that he ate the fruit, and God provided him with a coat of skin. And listen to this. The scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And so, the skins have to be taken from the animal. The animal had to be slain. And the blood has to be shed before the skins could be provided for a covering for Adam and Eve. Oh, my friends, I hope you would see the picture yourself. That it was necessary for Christ to die on that cross of Calvary as a covering for your sins and mine. Our righteousnesses, says the scripture, are as filthy rags. And so it is impossible for us to stand in the presence of God and become righteous. But God made that divine provision by sending His only begotten Son to die on that cross, that He may shed His precious blood for you and for me. That by His death, by His sacrifice on that cross, He may make remission for your sins and for mine. Oh, what a blessed, provision that is. For Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that He was buried and rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. My friends, we trust that you would hearken to the voice of scripture. We are not reading from some other books that the world has provided, but the divine inspired word of God, the Holy Scripture itself. If you do doubt, we trust that you would search the scriptures yourself, for in them you would find life eternal. Then we would look with you, if time permits, at a second east. Now turn with me, please, to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis 13. And looking at verse 9. Now you would recall the story that Abraham was with his nephew Lot, and they had problems with their servants, their herdmen, who had quarrels between them. And here the decision had to be made that they had to go their separate ways. And Abraham said to Lot and gave him the privilege of selecting the land in which he would like to go. Let us read at verse 9. Is not the whole land before thee, says Abraham, separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. We have said that man had to journey east through the east gate, and there was the fall. There was a departure. Look now again. The same story is repeated, but in a different context altogether. And Lot saw ahead of him the plains of Jordan. And he saw the beauty of those rolling hills and the attraction of the green. And he knew that those were the portions which would be the best for him. And he journeyed east. He went that downward road. And he went that road which led to Sodom and Gomorrah. And you would know, I'm sure, from your reading of the scriptures, that the evil of Sodom and Gomorrah was so great that God had to come in destruction. Look at verse 13. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And you notice later on that God came down in visitation. When God rained on Sodom and Gomorrah because of its wickedness, fire and brimstone. And that is the downward road that Lot took. But Abraham took the path which God sought for him. And he stayed in the plains of Canaan. Oh, my friends, I hope you see the picture as well. This is not so much the fall. There is the failure. This is the failure of the heart of Lot. He sought that easy path. He thought that the green pastures would suit him better. And he was only looking forward to a pleasant life. And I wonder whether you are looking in that direction yourself. As you heard the first preacher talking about priorities, we look at Lot. His priority was wrong. He was looking for the pleasure and the near future in which he would have much want needed, met by what is provided by what he sees with his own eyes. The world today will tell you, seeing is believing. But the scripture says it in a different way. The Lord spoke to Thomas. When Thomas beheld the Lord Jesus Christ after his death, Thomas would not believe that the Lord Jesus rose from the dead until he saw him face to face. And Thomas bowed in acknowledgement when he saw the Lord Jesus, and he said, "My Lord and my God." My Lord and my God. But blessed is the man, though he see not, yet he believe. Oh, my friends, it needs simple faith. The scripture says faith is this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of see, the evidence of things not seen. My friends, you hope for eternal life. You hope that the Lord Jesus would save you. He will. The evidence of things is not seen because you have not seen the Lord Jesus Christ, but you believe that the scriptures are true, that the Lord died on the cross some 2,000 years ago for you and for me. And the scriptures also would be correct. For the scripture tells us, the day will come and the Lord shall return. And as the Lord visited Sodom and Gomorrah, and none of the inhabitants there realized when the visitation would be, and so swift would be the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. It may be tonight. It may be before even this meeting would end. And where would your soul be, my friends? Where would your soul be? If you don't accept the Lord Jesus tonight, the opportunity may be gone. It may be too late. And where would your soul be? In hell? In destruction? Where would you spend eternity? This question comes to you and me. What would your final answer be? Where would you spend eternity? Now, time is almost gone. There are two more E's I would like to mention, but we will not read the passages. There is another East that we find in the scriptures. If you know the tabernacle, you would notice that the tabernacle that God has created by way of Moses, when he gave Moses that instruction to make the tabernacle according to the pattern thereof, and God placed the tabernacle facing east. Why? Because God made a provision that man should return to him by the east gate. And I would suggest that there were four pillars in the tabernacle. And those are the four gospels that we see in the New Testament. Look at the gospels and you will find the way of salvation which God has provided in the gospels, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have that entrance into fellowship. We had the fall and the failure, but now God seeks the fellowship of his own people. And if only you would approach God himself by way of the east gate, he would accept your return. And you would notice the reverence and the awe that pervades the whole camp of Israel when the high priest would enter in to the gate. They would watch him going in and they wonder whether he would come out. But what a privilege it is for him to enter. What a joy it would be for the company to see him coming out and knowing that he has stood accepted in God. Mind you, he had to go in with blood. And so, my friends, you cannot enter into the presence of God. The Shekinah glory of God dwelt in the midst of the Holy of Holies. And so we know where the presence of God is. And mind you, he had to enter into the presence of God with blood. And you cannot enter into heaven's gate, nor heaven's doors, without the blood of the Lamb, without the blood of Christ, and without the shedding of blood. There is no remission for sin. There is fellowship
there is fellowship. And you can find it if you come to the Lord. Finally, but not least, in Matthew chapter 2, you would remember that the wise men came from the east and they sought for the child. Who were they seeking for? They sought for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you read it in Matthew chapter 2. And what did they do when they found the child? They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And many in our midst can tell you that they found the Lord Jesus Christ. They came from the east. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open where you may go in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin. When you come as a sinner to Jesus. Oh, they found the Savior. And what a joy that was. And they bowed down their knees. And the scripture says, they worshipped Him. They worshipped Him. As Lord and as Master. Oh, if only you would accept the Lord Jesus Christ tonight as your only Lord and Savior. Then you would bow before Him, acknowledge your sins, and repent of what you have committed, and accept Him as your own and personal Savior. Yours would be eternal life and salvation. The scripture tells us that's the promise of God in the Holy Scriptures. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, that's faith, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, that's death, but have everlasting life. Broad is the way and wide the gate that leadeth into destruction. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Oh, my friends, if you are moving that downward road, sad it would be when your end shall be destruction. Why don't you seek the Lord tonight? The scripture again reaffirms, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Won't you accept Him as your personal Savior? Trust in Him tonight, and yours will be eternal life. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we bless Thee again for the privilege of sounding forth the gospel and for the holy scriptures that we have in our hands and for Thy great provision in the Lord Jesus Christ. O Father, we do pray that Thou will come down in visitation on Thy people here and the company that is bowed before Thee. And on this first Sunday of another year, we pray that some heart may rejoice to know their sins forgiven and that heaven would be their eternal home. Oh, Father, this would be our sincere prayer. And thus, our Father, would we commit the company into thy hands. And as we would travel back to our various homes, we pray, our Father, that thou would grant this Godspeed and journeying mercies. We thank thee for this assembly and its testimony. And we pray that thou would again bless the word of God and its goings forth. We pray these things, our Father, giving thee thanks in our Savior's precious and holy name. Amen. We trust that you will bear with us for the time that we have taken. Will you sing with us hymn number 91? We will sing only the first and last hymn, or first and last stanza, since time has gone. We thank you all for listening so well, and we trust that the Lord will bless his word, and that we would see some souls saved tonight. Once again, the gospel message from the Savior you have heard. Will you heed the invitation? Will you turn unto the Lord? Let your will to God be given. Trust in Christ's atoning blood. Look to Jesus now in heaven. Rest on God's unchanging word. Shall we sing the first and fourth stanza of 91?